question and answer portion of the call. At that time, to ask a question, please press star 1. This conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would like to introduce your speaker for today's call, Ms. Julie Avishan. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, and I do apologize for the delay this afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Today, we'd like to brief you on FDA's investigation to date of the contaminated pet food. We have three speakers here, who I will introduce in one moment. Someone, please put your phone on mute. Thank you. The format for this afternoon is you will hear remarks from our speakers and updates, and then we will take questions. Our three speakers today are as follows. Dr. Stephen Sunloff, the director of our Center for Veterinary Medicine. Dr. Michael Rogers, director of our Division of Field Investigations at FDA's Office of Regulatory Affairs. And Captain David Elder, director of the Office of Enforcement in FDA's Office of Regulatory Affairs. At this time, I'd like to turn this over to Dr. Stephen Sunloff.
Thank you, Julie, and thank you, everyone, for joining in the call. In keeping with our commissioner's policy and emphasis on communications, we will be holding regular and predictable press calls and conferences to keep you better informed about the ongoing investigation. And I would like to bring you up on the latest developments now. Just as a aside, we certainly understand how important pets are in Americans' lives, and we understand that a lot of the information that we are putting out is sometimes confusing. It doesn't contain all the information that people would like, and we apologize for that, but this is we're trying to get information out as soon as we learn anything new so that we can prevent any further illnesses or deaths or losses of pets that that we all care so much about. On Sunday evening, the agency was notified by an import company named Wilbur Ellis that it had received a shipment of rice protein concentrate from China that contained a bag labeled melamine. Subsequent testing by the FDA detected melamine in the imported rice protein concentrate, and the importer, Wilbur Ellis, has tracked and recalled the entire shipment of rice protein concentrate products. Rice protein concentrate is used as a protein source in some pet foods, although it does not appear to be widely used in North American products or as widely as wheat gluten. Wilbur Ellis, the importer, shipped the rice gluten concentrate to 5 U.S. pet food manufacturers. To date, the presence of melamine has only been confirmed in two of the product lines, Natural Balance Pet Foods, and both of those product lines are from Natural Balance Pet Foods. As a precaution, though, all production dates for these products have been recalled. Natural Balance has confirmed that melamine has been found in some of its venison-based foods, and it suspected the rice protein because it was the only new ingredient in the food. Natural Balance tested the food after consumers reported dogs and cats suffering kidney failure. Natural Balance has voluntarily recalled all of its venison and brown rice canned and bagged dog foods, its venison and brown rice dog treats, and its venison and green pea dry cat food. The Pacoima, California company recently added rice protein concentrate to the dry venison formulas. As you are aware, melamine is the same industrial chemical that was found in wheat gluten imported from China and used in pet food made by Menu Foods, which recalled 60 million cans and pouches of dog and cat food in mid-March. FDA is sparing no resources as this work continues. Our field staff continues to sample 100% of wheat gluten coming into the United States from China and is also sampling all rice protein concentrate. Additional products will be added as we receive information. Any product from the two firms in China who were the source of the melamine contamination is stopped as it comes into this country and is examined physically. At this point in time, FDA's inspection and investigation staff continues to proactively and aggressively sample products coming through our borders and has increased surveillance of products coming in from China. FDA recognizes that pet owners' concerns have not diminished by this recent development, but we are confident that all components of the FDA, our state and local counterparts, and the pet and human food industries are working very closely together to identify and halt any further contamination. Thank you, and I will now turn this back over to Julie DeVito.
Thank you, Dr. Simon. Ladies and gentlemen, a point of clarification. I said we have three speakers. We have three FDA officials here. Dr. Sunloft's prepared remarks are the only ones you'll hear today, but we have three officials here who will now take your questions. So let us give you a moment to get into the queue.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please depress star 1. One moment, please.
Operator, we'll take the first question when you're ready.
Thank you. One moment.
And I'd ask that you state your name and affiliation, please, and we'll take one question and one follow-up. And then if we can get through everyone's questions, we'll start a second round. Do we have any questions?
Petra Henderson of Boston Globe, you may ask your question.
Hi, thank you for doing this. You talked about domestic efforts to do more sampling of product coming in from China. Can you give an update on the visa status for FDA officials who want to go over to China to do the investigation there?
Sure.
Mike Rogers will take that question.
This is Michael Rogers. We've expressed in the past the challenges associated with the authorities we don't have in China versus the inspection authorities that we do have in the domestic arena. To initiate a foreign inspection in China, and the agency is actively pursuing doing so, we need the actual firms to be identified, but the process goes through the Chinese government. The agency has initiated a number of letters seeking the appropriate information to initiate those inspections. We fully expect the Chinese government to cooperate and look forward to doing those inspections.
And just a follow-up question, there have been some reports of tainted corn gluten. Has the FDA heard of tainted corn gluten making it into the pet food? And is that one of the additional products that you mentioned, Dr. Sunloft?
Yes, we do have a report of contaminated corn gluten that was used in South Africa to make a pet food product, but we don't have any information that corn gluten was imported, contaminated corn gluten was imported into the United States for pet food production.
You said that?
Yes.
Okay, I think.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Thanks, teacher. Next question.
Carrie Payton-Dahlberg of the Sacramento Bee, you may ask your question.
Well, my first question leads right after the one just asked. Now that you're doing border checks or stepped-up checks of rice protein and wheat gluten, what are your plans to do checks for other protein enhancers, such as the Chinese corn gluten, as well as various soy powders and flours and isolates? They could also be the targets of attempts to boost apparent protein content. And my follow-up question is, as you've been doing these checks, have you found any other melamine, and how often?
I'll answer last first, Michael. Presently, we have no positive melamine samples associated with any other products except wheat gluten and rice protein concentrate. The agency is taking a number of proactive steps at the border, at domestic consignees, to broaden our focus. If you will recall, the menu foods investigation and this particular incident are separate recall events, but very similar with respect to fact patterns, and the common variable in all of this appears to be the country of origin. From a proactive perspective, at our imports, at our domestic consignees, at our manufacturers of both pet foods and other products, we're looking at those. I don't think it's appropriate to go into detail about what those steps are, but we're certainly actively looking at that.
And I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear my second question answered. As you've done these additional border checks, have you found more melamine in other than the samples that Menu and Wilbur Ellis knew about?
As I mentioned, Wilbur Ellis is the importer of record associated with the positive melamine findings associated with the rice protein. And only we only have positive samples of melamine associated with either wheat gluten or the rice protein concentrate.
Thank you. Next question.
Brian Hartman of ABC News, you may ask your question.
Brian? Operator, let's go to the next caller, and then if Brian gets back in the queue, we'll take him.
Thank you. Andrew Bridges of AP, you may ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. People have told me, and I've seen it reported elsewhere by my colleagues in the media, that melamine could possibly be used to spike products to make them appear to have a higher protein concentration than they actually do. What does the FDA know about that?
Well, that...
And then also in the Wilbur Ellis case, what was the concentration of melamine found? Could it be explained by a reused bag, or was it in higher concentrations?
To answer your first question, we are aware of the fact that you could melamine would artificially increase the protein content. That's still a theory because we have not been into the Chinese manufacturers. We haven't been able to do those inspections yet. It's still only a theory, but certainly seems to be a plausible one. The concentration of the melamine in the material that was found in the bag, labeled melamine, I don't know if we have that information at what concentration.
Do we know, Dave or Mike?
We have a range, but again, I don't know that it would be fair to articulate what that range is right now, in that we have ongoing samples that are presently in the queue, and so that by the time we report it and it gets printed, it might be changed.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't think we're in a position to speculate now as to whether or not that was just contamination from the bag or whether or not that was actually added to some substance in there to make it look like rice protein concentrate. But we should, I think that information will be coming out as soon as we do some confirmatory testing.
Thank you. Next question.
Brian Hartman of ABC News, you may ask your question.
Yeah, I still don't think I heard an answer to the question from the Sacramento Bee about whether anything was found in border checks. And I know you mentioned this melamine from the rice, but if I heard you correctly, that was found because they tested the food after dogs and cats reported kidney failure. I think the question of whether any more were found in the border checks, and is anything else going to be recalled? These other companies, we still apparently don't know the names of these four other companies that received this rice protein.
Hi, this is David Elder. I'll try to answer those questions. The finding of the positive melamine in the rice protein concentrate is a new development as of this week, and the sampling criteria for rice protein concentrate has been added to the import screening criteria. So the answer is no. Any shipments of rice protein concentrate that have been offered for import, if there even were any, since earlier this week till now, have not shown the presence of melamine. So the answer is that we've just started that screening criteria based on the information obtained regarding the positive. So anything that comes in will be screened, and if we find it, obviously the shipment will be condemned. And
so how about wheat gluten? Is anything you've tested showed positive for wheat gluten that you found coming at the border?
The answer to that is no also.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Next question.
You had another question there too, Brian.
Sorry, Brian. Go ahead.
Julie Schmidt of USA Today, you may ask your question.
Thanks. Taking the question, I think Brian's other question was, if four other companies got this rice protein concentrate, should we expect them to recall product?
Thanks, Julie.
Yeah, this is David Elder again. I would expect companies to recall product if pet food products were made from contaminated rice protein concentrate, and FDA is actively following that trail of where they went, and the investigations are ongoing. We have investigators in each plant following that trail. The companies have been notified, and we are investigating to determine what, if any, products were made, and we would expect the companies, when presented with the information that FDA has on the positive samples, to initiate the action. We're working with them to communicate the results and to determine what was made, where it went, and to initiate the appropriate action as a result.
Okay, thank you. And just a clarification, it's the melamine was found in the pink bag of Wilbur Ellis, but also other bags, correct?
Yes.
Thanks, Julie. Next question.
Susan Heavey of Reuters, you may ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Dr. Shumoff, can you give us an update on the number of illnesses or deaths from the FDA's investigation so far?
No, we continue to get thousands of phone calls reporting cases, and again, we have not had the opportunity to really sit down and work our way through that. We are consulting with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to help us in that effort, as well as the American Association of Veterinary Laboratory Diagnosticians and the Banfield Pet Hospitals to try and make sense out of this whole thing. But at this point in time, we don't even have a good estimate of what that number might be.
Okay, I think the number you gave last week on Capitol Hill was more than 14,000 calls so far.
Yes, we're over 15,000.
Over 15,000. And I may have missed this earlier, but the name of the five manufacturers that have received this rice protein, who are they besides Natural Brands?
Right now, we're in the middle of that investigation, and so we're not releasing the names of those manufacturers other than the Natural Balance folks. So as soon as we are able to confirm that that they are either, that they if they actually have manufactured with the rice concentrate, protein concentrate from Wilbur Ellis, then we will announce the names.
That was Dr. Sunloff. Next question, please.
Patricia Sullivan of Washington Post, can you ask your question?
I'm trying to get a sense of how widespread the use of rice protein concentrate is in pet food manufacturing. You said it's not as well used as the wheat gluten, but I don't have a sense of how many further recalls we might see.
I don't have that information in front of me right now. We can certainly look into that and try and address that issue, but at this time I don't have a good answer for you.
Okay, Pat, we'll have to try to get back to you on that.
Okay.
Thank you. Next question.
Rick Perlstein of The Nation, you may ask your question.
Yes, now that we know that corn gluten was found to have caused contamination in South Africa, why aren't you sampling for that at the border?
My sense is that, you know, we are expanding the number of products that we are stopping at the border and testing, and it may very well be that the corn gluten is among those. But at this time, we haven't announced all of the different products that may be subject to retention at the border and subject to further testing.
Yeah, we're taking a number of proactive steps in the domestic arena and at the port of entry, and I can tell you that they are not strictly limited to wheat gluten and rice protein concentrate. They include an attention to other products.
Thank you. Next question.
Gina Damrona, Detroit Free Press, you may ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering, since there are four other companies that we don't know about yet, and we don't know if they're going to recall products, what are you telling pet owners? I mean, should they just stop buying pet food, or should they just start making it themselves? What would you suggest?
We're suggesting, as before, to check our website. As soon as we get new information on recalled products, we are putting them on our website. We have reconfigured the website because we knew it was confusing to try and find all of the different brands of product that may be subject to recall. So we've reconfigured it such that people can search on a single brand name and determine whether or not that's part of the recall list. They can browse by cat or dog brand food. So certainly, before making a purchase of pet food, strongly encourage consumers to check the website and make sure that that's not on the recall list. If they have products in their home that they are feeding, again, check the website. As soon as we find out that a product is subject to recall, it will be on the website. And that's pretty much the information that we can offer the public at this time.
Should people be worried about the human food supply, too? I mean, is this something that...
Well, we certainly are looking into that, but in the case of this contaminated rice protein concentrate, we know that all the consignees of this company, the importer, Wilbur Ellis, are pet food companies. So at this time, it looks like the intent was at least to make pet food out of it. Now, that doesn't mean that it couldn't have gotten diverted to other products. We are tracing it just as we did all of the wheat gluten at this time to determine whether or not it may have gone into human food at this particular time, though. Where we trace it is to pet food.
Thank you. Next question.
David Curley of ABC, you may ask your question.
Thank you very much. It seems to be kind of dancing around the issue here. Since this started, the question was this an accident? Was this intentional? If they are trying to spike the food, you said it is plausible. Is that now your focus of your investigation? Is this company's attempt to improve their product that's sold in the United States that has killed and sickened all these animals?
Well, our intent right now, David, is to get into China and to actually inspect these plants. I think it adds to the theory when you see other products that are labeled as protein supplements, in this case, rice protein, and in the South African case, corn gluten, and in the previous case, it was wheat gluten, that melamine was found in all three of those. It would certainly lend credibility to the theory that this was intentional. But go ahead.
No, you finished. You were there. That it is intentional. Go ahead.
I said it would lend credibility to the theory that it may be intentional, and that's certainly one of the theories that we will be investigating when we do get into these plants in China.
This is my point. It's looking more and more like that, that these companies intentionally did it. Can you explain from a food science purpose or reason why the company want to do it? Does it make the product more valuable? Why would you do this to these protein supplements to get them into the U.S. and get them into the food? Not that they were trying to kill animals, but apparently improve their product, right?
Yes. The motivation would be economic in that you can take a product that is low in protein and would not qualify for the designation, for instance, as wheat gluten because it may not contain as high enough protein content to qualify, add a substance that from a chemistry standpoint makes it appear to have higher protein than it does so that it can be marketed and sold at the price of wheat gluten or rice protein concentrate or corn gluten that are labeled to, by definition, must contain a certain level of protein.
Thank you very much. Somebody's BlackBerry is on there that's interrupting the signal, just so you know.
Thanks for letting us know. Is that better?
It's fine now.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
This is Mike.
Oh, go ahead, Mike.
I'll add to that. As Dr. Sunlov mentioned, what we expect to do with our inspections in China will answer some of those questions. It's a challenge to comment about intent without doing direct inspections of the sources in China. But the headline is, it shouldn't be there. And raw materials and finished pet food that contain traceable amounts of melamine are considered adulterated. As more information becomes available, we'll disclose that. But as we've said, this is an ongoing investigation. Our goal is to work to inform the public. We're trying to take efforts to ensure the safety of the pet food supply. But there's also a targeted message here. And that message is there is an industry responsibility to know who their suppliers are, to exercise some diligence with respect to their suppliers of raw materials as well.
Thank you. That was Michael Rogers. Next question.
Christy Keith of Universal Press, you may ask your question.
Yes, Blue Buffalo has just pulled one of its foods during this conference. Is that one of the other four companies that received the Wilbur Ellis shipment, and do you expect further recalls to be announced today? And if so, what companies?
Hold on 1 second.
Could you repeat the exact question you're asking?
Blue Buffalo just recalled one of its foods during this conference. Is it one of the other four companies that received the shipment from Wilbur Ellis? And do you expect further recalls today?
That is one of the companies that we're investigating. We're aware of that company. We are, as there was a question a little while ago about do we expect further recalls and what are pet owners advised to do right now. And as we said, we are tracing every shipment of this rice protein concentrate that went from Wilbur Ellis to the other pet food manufacturers. And we are not weeks away from decisions. We are hours or maybe a day or two away from decisions to make sure that we understand where these products went, what, if any, pet food was manufactured from it, to advise the responsible firms of the findings, to collect additional samples, to conduct analyses. We're doing an investigation to get at the all of the products that are affected by this. And as we continue to investigate, as you can imagine, we are following the trails wherever they lead, and other firms may emerge. We just don't know yet. It's very early in the investigation. We're tracing them, and as soon as we have information, we are out in front sharing it. Because
don't you have that information now that you know the other three companies, and you're not sharing it?
We don't know what, if any, products were made yet. As soon as we find out what, if any, products were made, the responsible firms. As has been in the past case with wheat gluten, have been taking the appropriate steps to remove their products from the market.
Thank
and
you.
Could that consumers have that information now?
Say that again.
Shouldn't consumers have that information now so we can use it in our decision-making process?
We are not aware of all of the products that may have been made. We are aware of where shipments have gone, at least through records. We are visiting the firms that the records indicate have received the shipments, and we are investigating to determine what, if any, products were made from the shipments that the records show were received.
Once we know and we're sure, we absolutely will communicate any information like that publicly. But what our folks here are saying is we don't know yet. We don't have complete information.
When we have complete information, we share what we know when we know it. We are not going to share information that is speculative, that's preliminary. We're sharing information that FDA can stand behind.
That was Captain Elder. And next question, please.
Karen Roebuck of Pittsburgh Tribune Review. You may ask your question.
Hi. I have two questions. The first is that the USDA said that the FDA is investigating hog feed in relation to melamine potentially be found in it. And so that leaves open the question, has this made it to the human food chain? And also, I received a statement from the Chinese government today, and they're saying that Zhuhao did not export wheat gluten for food, only for industrial purposes. And I'd like your response to that as well.
Yes, we received, I'll just address your second question first. We received the same message back from the Chinese government indicating that that the wheat gluten that was shipped by the one company in China was not meant for pet foods and therefore was not their regulatory responsibility. I'm not sure that's accurate. We need to follow up with the Chinese government and get into China and actually do the inspection to determine what the real facts are. But regardless of how it got in here, it should not have been a component of any food for either animals or humans. regarding the USDA concern about hogs, we do understand that one of the companies that was manufacturing pet food had some pet food that could not be used. It was it was not suitable for using in pet food, and so it was sent to I don't know if it was sent to another processor for hog feed, but eventually we understand that it did make it into some hog feed, and we are following up on that as well.
Thank you. Next question.
Was it David Goldstein of News Radio 710? You may ask your question.
Yes. Thank you. Have you tested the nitrogen spiking theory by directly testing protein content of the melamine-tainted samples to see if, by comparison, the protein level otherwise falls below grade?
No, I don't believe we have.
Is that something we would do, or would the companies do?
Well, we could do it.
Okay.
Is it? Wouldn't it be something that would at least validate the theory?
So it would. Certainly, I think it's something. I mean, again, right now, our major concern is to make sure that no pets are affected that would not normally have to be. So that's going to it certainly would help us with the theory, I think. But right now, we are more concerned about making sure that contaminated product is not available for pet foods, and then we'll look at motive and as the investigation proceeds.
Could you confirm also that food supplements such as wheat gluten and rice protein concentrate are only imported in two grades, edible and non-edible?
That I don't know. We're stopping all of it at the ports of entry.
Thank you. Next question.
Nancy Kortz of CBS News, you may ask your question.
Thank you very much. I'm wondering, this may be a fairly obvious question, but what does it say to you that this Chinese company had a bag labeled melamine sitting around to be able to put product into it, and how have they explained to you why they have bags with melamine stenciled on them sitting around in their factory?
Again, that's not something we're going to be able to determine until we actually investigate the plants in China.
And then my second question is, what do you think the chances are? I mean, now that you're testing so many more products, it's showing up in all of these products. Do you have any theories on how long melamine has actually been going into these products, and why reports of signatures only started happening now?
We don't. I mean, from this, as I understand from this, the rice shipment, rice protein concentrate. Was the company first, let me just say, Wilbur Ellis started receiving shipments from them, I believe, in April of 2006. And let me just check with our folks over here.
July
of 2006. Okay. So that appears to be, at least at this point in the investigation, and please recognize that that information changes over time, as it has with the wheat gluten, but it appears that is the at least the beginning of the relationship between the importer Wilbur Ellis and this new company that they were purchasing the rice protein concentrate from.
Mm-hmm. And can I just, my initial question, what does it say to you? I know you haven't been able to talk to them about this, but what does it say to you that they had a bag labeled melamine sitting around in their factory?
It certainly raises some serious questions that we're going to have to find out what the answers were, and we will be asking those questions.
Thank you. Operator, how many callers are still on the line? Are in the queue?
I currently have about 7 questions in queue.
Okay, we will try. I don't know if we can get through all of them, but we'll do our best. Next question, please.
Diane Light of South Florida Sentinel, you may ask your question.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. My question is, prior to all this started happening and the sampling, is there any different procedure for inspecting large shipments of, say, wheat gluten that are coming into this country considered edible, that it should be used for pet food versus human consumption, or was it all the same inspection process?
It's subject to the same requirements.
Is that it? That's it. Thank you. Next question.
Abigail Goldman of LA Times, you may ask your question.
Good afternoon. I know this has sort of been asked, but I really don't think we've gotten a good answer. Consumers have been frustrated by what seems to be a stream of recalls and the fact that pets continue to get sick. So I'm not clear and therefore can't explain why you won't proactively tell people what these other companies are so that they can make decisions. Even if that's preliminary or it's still being investigated, why risk that more pets would get sick by continuing to eat food that might be contaminated?
Yes, this is Michael. Our efforts are to disclose the information that might relate to finished products reaching consumers on the shelves. As we referenced, there are a number of companies that we've identified through our trace forward procedures that potentially received suspect product. This is an ongoing investigation, and our efforts will continue to then identify whether or not those firms that we believe received potentially contaminated product actually use that product and whether or not those products are actually out there and available to consumers. When the agency reaches that determination, and at the earliest degree possible, there's a parallel track, one, to interact with the firms, to make them aware of that information, as well as to disclose that information to the public through calls like this, as well as on our website, and you should expect that to happen.
So what you're saying is we don't know yet. We don't have enough information to credibly and accurately say don't.
We're expressing the facts that we know at this time.
Thank you. Next question.
John Rockoff of Baltimore Sun, you may ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Could you just talk a little bit more about sort of what you hope to do in China and how your inspections there might either confirm or not the theory that there was nitrogen spiking going on?
We'll be asking all of the logical questions that have come up as part of this exercise. What we know from our import records is that there are two sources of these products that exist within China. Our inspections that we expect to initiate with the assistance of the Chinese government will be to be directed to identify the actual manufacturers that may have supplied these Chinese sources, their manufacturing practices, and their raw materials and processes. We will be asking obvious questions that are designed to confirm our facts that we've discovered in the United States and try to identify how these events have happened and, quite frankly, how long they might have happened and whether or not these companies have other relationships and might direct us in other areas.
So essentially you just want to see how the melamine got into the product and whether that was intentional or not.
What we want to do is to, when given permission, conduct inspections to fully investigate and get at the root cause of this.
Mm-hmm.
As Michael said, this is David Elder speaking. As Michael said, we will ask all of the appropriate questions that anybody can think up, and we will examine evidence and be on site at a manufacturing establishment to observe practices, to look at equipment, to look at supplies. We'll conduct a thorough investigation to get at the heart of this. We're not going in there with any blinders on. We are going in eyes wide open, exploring any theory and following any lead that is appropriate.
Next question, please.
Jack Neff of Advertising Age, you may ask your question.
Yes, has the FDA looked into whether any U.S. Pet food manufacturers have received corn gluten from China?
At this time, we have not. This is the finding of the rice protein concentrate being contaminated with melamine is causing us to start looking broader at other potential sources of melamine, and so as the investigation continues, that certainly is something that may come up.
Thank you. Next question.
Karen Roebuck of Pittsburgh Tribune, you may ask your question.
Hi. Michael Rogers had said earlier that you were checking other products at the port besides the wheat gluten and the rice protein concentrate. and I was wondering what those were. And I'm also concerned about the human food chain and wondering what you're doing to see if any pork products in the market are possibly contaminated with melamine. If you could give some more details on that.
The last question, I'll answer the last question first. We will be working closely with USDA to determine what the final outcome, the disposition of those pigs that may have gotten contaminated feed will be. And we've done this on many, many occasions where we found contamination of animal feed or intentional use of unapproved animal drugs, where we work closely with USDA to determine whether or not those animals can go into the food supply. So that's a process that is still ongoing, and we should have we should know the answer to that in a short period of time. The other one, I'll ask Michael to respond to the broader suite.
As we stated, these two events are separate events with very similar fact patterns, with the common variable, the country of origin, and a raw material, a raw bulk material. Our efforts are certainly focused on those bulk materials that we have seen test positive for melamine, and that, as we have disclosed, is wheat gluten and rice protein concentrate. The agency, from a proactive standpoint, is looking at opportunities for other bulk products from a number of sources, and looking at whether or not initiating sampling efforts. At this time, though, unless one of those other bulk products raises suspicion or is related to any particular company, or we have a need to disclose that, I don't know it's in the best interest to fully articulate where the agency might be doing its surveillance work and investigation.
Thank you. And operator, we have time for one final question.
Debbie Turner of CBS News, you may ask your question.
Debbie? Is there anyone from CBS News on the line?
No,
we're hearing some back chatter. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, at this time I'd like to conclude this briefing, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thank you to our speakers, Dr. Sunloff, Captain Elder, and Mr. Rogers. We hope that you found this helpful, and we really do appreciate the work that you're doing getting this type of information to the public. As I'm sure you heard here, we're still in the heat of this investigation, and we want the answers just as much as you do and as much as pet owners do. So our intention here is to have regular briefings twice a week at this time, tentatively on Tuesdays and Thursdays, although we may have briefings sooner if we have breaking information that you need to have, that we need to give to you. So I would suggest in the interim to check our website regularly for updates and for a list of any other products that may be recalled. And if you have questions, call Michael Herndon at 301-827-6242 or send him an email. And in about 2 hours, there should be an instant replay of this telebriefing, a phone briefing, and then shortly we'll also have the transcript posted. So thank you again very, very much, and have a pleasant evening.
Thank you for calling the Digital Replay Service.